You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
What's up, and thank you once again for joining us tonight on this November 9th, 2021. I am Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting with me tonight. I've got Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Christian from Philly, and Kanye West. Give it up for the usual suspect. Boy, what's going on tonight? Oh, and by the way, we also have a special guest joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ricky. That's right. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Once again, the raucous crowd tonight. Raucous crowd.
Mr. Sinister. Sinister Minister himself.
Yes, sir.
Dark
What's
Lord.
Up?
The Dark Lord, have you ever watched those Sinister movies?
No.
But I'm pretty Minister. Creepy. They're kind of creepy.
Yeah. Dude, I've been doing good this week. I hope everybody's been doing good. I've been kind of sad. I've been kind of missing Nia Jax since her release. She was kind of a staple of the show. We got to talk about her a lot. You know, now that she's been...
Talk about her.
Future endeavored. Maybe we'll see her pop up in the Impact Zone.
No, we could see her pop up here, man. I mean, we could just do Nia Jax segments.
Let's not go that far. Do you really mean it, Chuck? Let's not go that far.
Have me on the show, guys? Like,
no, like, yeah. That show is stupid.
Hey, yeah, Nia Jax recently got fired. And, I mean, I guess we can open up with this right now real quick. I mean, I didn't see it coming. Albert, what about you, man? Did you see Nia Jax? What were your first thoughts? Give us your reaction.
Did you see Nia Jax? We've been saying this for years. We've been saying this for the last couple of years we've been doing this show. But I never saw it coming, bro. I never saw it coming. I didn't see half those cuts coming. In fact, I didn't see any of those cuts coming. And I really want to get into this a little bit later. I guess we're getting into it right now, but I don't want
to
ramble on
too
much.
I didn't see it coming at all.
You know what? We will save that for the whole release segment we have. Yes, follow through with the real joke, Kevier.
The real joke I was trying to make is that I guess since she got fired, now they transferred the hitting people with your ass gimmick over to Ivar in the Viking Raiders, because he hit somebody with his ass on SmackDown, and the commentator said, "Oh, Viking ass for dinner all night for him," or something like that. And it was like the cheesiest, nastiest line. He's like, "He's eating Viking ass for dinner tonight."
Oh, like, man. Oh,
so,
God.
Nia's whole Viking ass, you know, it's full circle.
The Viking ass gimmick continues.
Well, so...
Swami, your initial reaction to Nia Jax getting released, real quick.
Well, the reason why she got fired because of mental health issues is sad, right? I'm going to give her that, all right? That's fucked up for what they did in the WWE, firing her because she has mental issues. But, guys, come on. She was fucking terrible at her job. She constantly injured every single woman in the women's division. She can't wrestle. She can't cut a promo. She's terrible. In a way, I'm sad that she got fired, but in a way, I'm not, because she's fucking awful at her job. She's not safe.
And I mean, I don't think she got fired because of her mental issues. I mean, she can say that she was, you know, on a vacation for mental health reasons all she wants, but that doesn't mean that that's why they fired her.
No, but that's what she implied in her Instagram and tweet that she implied that they fired her because she told her that she needed more time off because she has mental health issues and that they fired her. That's what she's implying.
Okay, well, okay. So what do you see in the cards for Nia Jax, like going forward as a career?
I could see her at Impact. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't think AEW will be picking her up, but who knows? Maybe they will. You never know.
I see it as
never
a movie,
say never.
But I don't think she's going to work anywhere else. I think that she's going to take a year off. There's been a couple of guys that have done this too. And I think we've heard Braun Strowman rumors as well, but I think that Braun Strowman's going to return to WWE within a year. Because, you know, some people, like, when they get released, they don't really go anywhere or do anything. They just take some time off for, like, 6 months, a year, year and a half. And then they return, you know, kind of like Eve Marie. You know what I mean? I see WWE has her next step. You know what I mean? Like, some people get released and come right back, you know? So that's just what I'm
predicting.
I could be
really good at NXT. Well, you have NXT again. Y'all have, like, y'all are talking about the top of the line. Where could you see her working a basic job? What's her degree in, again? Does anybody know?
I don't know
why she's going to college.
I don't know.
She's the Rock's cousin. She's the Rock's cousin.
Well, maybe she could be in Rampage 3.
I was being sarcastic about Nia because we pick on her on the show a lot. Like, of all the people, we'll get into the releases, but yeah. No, Nia's
going to
be released. I figured everybody had a chuckle about that. We're all like, oh, huh. You know, that was probably the most predictable one, I think. I'm kind of with Albert, though. You know, it is out of left field because she seemed like a bigger name to let go. Like, that's the thing, too, is that Nia was a bigger name for them.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be a sad thing, though, that, like, Nia Jax is a big name?
That's what I mean.
And we're going to continue. We're going to continue talking about Nia Jax and the rest of the WWE releases. In fact, this year we've had 90 releases, I think it is. So we'll get back to that later. But let's continue on with the show now. Guys, we have birthdays today. Christian, you want to bring in the birthday song?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You old fat pieces of shit. It's go fuck yourself. Happy birthday.
All right.
You saw me Christian. He's fat.
So... let's get with the birthdays. November 9th. We don't have very many. We do have Chris Jericho. Happy birthday to Chris Jericho. Let's go ahead and give him a round of applause. Chris Jericho. Yeah. So happy birthday to Chris Jericho. Yeah.
Yeah, none Jericho. Even though I like Jericho, I got to admit that full gear match that he's gonna have with the Inner Circle versus Top America team is gonna be garbage. It's gonna be the worst match in that whole card.
Would you please?
It's gonna be badass.
The hell up!
because none of the people in that match is a wrestler.
Dan Lambert has to be in the match, right?
Yeah, he's in the match.
You watch. Those guys are going to win. Dan Lambert and them are going to win.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Fat-faced douchebag.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Chris Jericho, let's see, what year was he born in? 1970. That's a big 5-0. No, that was last year.
Let's see,
big 5-1.
Ask Kevin what his favorite present that I ever gave him.
Oh, Ricky gave me a badass Fozzy poster one time. We're big Jericho fans over here.
Well, was it a Jericho dog?
I got a Fozzy poster in my room, in my music room.
Oh, Fozzy. Fozzy. Yeah. I like that. Fozzy. That's that, nobody really ever talks about Fozzy, man. I've started listening to their music. It's not bad. I don't mind it. I like it. So happy birthday to Chris Jericho. By the way, today's show being brought to you by Sprite. I'm drinking fucking Sprite tonight, guys, if you can believe that.
Well, the reason why nobody knows Jericho's band is because the word Fozzy, it almost sounds like Fozzy the Bear from the fucking Muppets.
Waka waka. I love the Muppets, too. The Muppets. I think I've talked about the Muppets on here. I love the Muppets almost as much as I love that song.
Christian, why don't you just let him live his dreams? He has a good band. It's okay. It's not that memorable. I only know like a few songs. It's not that memorable of a band.
They're not that good.
Okay. It's all right.
It's a mid-level rock band. It's okay.
They're like Queensryche.
I mean, they played at a club. I'd go check it out. Pete Dunne, November 9th also. 1993, this guy.
I think he's tired.
Yeah, well, he's still Pete Dunne. I don't know where he might be. Maybe some local gym, wherever he's from. Cowboy Bob Orton, tomorrow, November 10th.
There you go.
1950, that guy. In the 70s.
Even though
he's still wearing the cast. He's still wearing the cast.
Even though I respect Bob Orton, I still give him fucking grief over him not telling Undertaker that he had hepatitis and you could have gotten him and his own son sick, so fuck you for that, sir.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that story before,
yeah.
Fuck
there was
you for
a
that,
match.
Sir. You're still
there was a match on the Pluto app yesterday or the day before yesterday. Cowboy Bob Orton versus somebody. Some blonde-haired kid. Bob Orton was chopping him up. Had that fucking cast, too.
Giving him hepatitis and stuff, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what he was all about that.
Abdul the Butcher style.
November 10th, also, Katarina. You guys remember her? I sure as hell don't.
No.
1980, also 1980, November 10th, Katie Lee Burchill.
Oh, the incest twin.
Yeah. That's sick shit. Fucking TNA with their sick shit. Vince McMahon, shades of Vince McMahon.
That wasn't TNA. That was WWE.
I'll tell you what, man. We talked about some disturbing shit last week on this show, and here we are at it again. What the fuck? Sick shit. Ryback, speaking of sick shit, Ryback also. Where the fuck has he been? He just disappeared. What is he? Just on a podcast now?
He sells vegan meal plans on Instagram out of his Las Vegas home. And I think he might have a podcast. He had a podcast called The Big Guy Says or something like that.
Is he wrestling?
He's not wrestling now. I think he might do like small like outlaw promotions kind of things like that, but I haven't seen him do any big promotions or any, and by that I mean like any big indie promotions either.
Right.
Like, I think that he just does nutritional stuff now.
I think he just signed with ROH.
basically, minister, he's a fucking bum. He's a washed out bum that not even AEW wants to fucking hire.
You know, I still say WWE fucked him, man. They fucked him hard. He carried that company for those 2 or 3 months when John Cena was out. They put the fucking company on his back, and he did it. I mean, it's not a long time, but he did it. I mean, I remember walking into the fucking Houston Toyota Center, and you could feel the fucking boom in there.
So what I mean is, like, he did it. It was longer than – I mean, it wasn't a long time, like the 2 months that he was working with Cena – wasn't the only time that Ryback was, like, carrying a lot of the company on his back. Like, Ryback was, they booked Ryback in a way where it was, you know, a lot like Nia Jax. And at the time, a lot of people said, like, Batista. But, like, they booked him in a way where, like, because the guy wasn't super-duper skilled, he was, you know, doomed to fail. So I think, you know, they booked him in a main event spot before he was ready to be main event. And then, but I always fucking liked Ryback. I liked Feed Me More, and, like, I liked his gear, and, like, the look and everything, his moveset. But, yeah, no, I get that he is a dickhead, shithead kind of dude, too. But whatever, I'd probably still hang out with the guy.
I mean, I can.
He said bad things too. He said like bad things about women and shit. So, I mean, fuck cancel culture having to come up in every conversation. But that's what he's known for now.
But I'm with you, Kevin, dude. Like he said some stupid shit, and he's continuously saying some stupid shit. But it's just like one of those guys that's like, dude, I just want to have a couple of beers and like pick your fucking brain about every fucking thing. He seems like a really interesting fucking dude, as dumb as he is, you know?
I would ask him what it feels like to be the guy that, you know, tried to kill CM Punk. I mean, he literally almost killed CM Punk.
What about, you should also ask him, why did you kill Dolph Ziggler's world title push, you dickhead? he's the reason why his world title run came to an end, because he gave him a concussion, you dickhead. You ruined that poor man's career and could have been enough.
Does anybody remember why he was let go some years ago? I mean,
why?
His speed was the only thing was getting over, dude. Like,
budget cuts.
Attitude backstage, and with CM Punk. There was something with CM Punk and Ryback. He hurt CM Punk, and after that...
Somebody tapped on someone's shoulder and said, hey, this guy's got to go.
I could have sworn he was wrestling. I could have sworn he was wrestling after CM Punk had already left, wasn't he?
He was wrestling still. It was Team Authority and Team Cena, and he was part of Team Cena. But after that, let's be fucking real. The guy was a washed-up, bootleg Goldberg wannabe that failed spectacularly because he got over with one fucking catchphrase. He couldn't fucking wrestle. He couldn't move a cup of coffee. He didn't draw a fucking dime. Go fucking show. He sucked.
So, but that's where it goes back to, like, so the guy that played the Ryback character probably couldn't pull it off, obviously. But the Ryback character, like, in a bubble, that's all I'm saying. Is like, the Ryback character in WWE at the time was really fucking cool. Like, I liked
it. It was working. It was working.
The kids are eating it up. The kids, like, I was like coworkers over there. She was like, oh, yeah, my kid loves fucking Ryback. Dude, I don't even know who the fuck this guy is. He's talking about feeding more. I'm like, dude.
They could have pulled the trigger on him, and it would have been fucking, it could have been huge. It could have been.
Well,
but it's another one of those examples where they don't do it. They own the fucking name Ryback. He can't fucking use the name Ryback, and he's fucked. It's just another, that's why they do what they do with the name, you know? So, but I digress. So let's see. Peyton Royce, also November 10th.
Happy birthday.
Who's now in TNA, or Impact Wrestling, I should say. Is it still TNA?
Who?
Peyton Royce.
Who?
TNA.
Oh, yeah. It's called Impact. It's called Impact. And you know what? It's bullshit how the first night they get hired, they are already the tag champions with no build, no fucking... They didn't earn those fucking tag titles. I hate that.
I wonder what that,
you
wonder what
be
that
joking
does
me
to the morale of the people
me
backstage, though. Kevier?
I was just using their catchphrase. I was saying, you got to be joking me. No, like, I mean, it makes total sense. It's textbook Impact Wrestling to make the WWE person your champ as soon as they get in. I mean, they did it with Christian, too.
Right about that.
I mean, I don't know. I think the Iconics are the, what are they called now, the Inspiration? I think they're badass.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily the best wrestlers, but they're like the Bellas because they're fucking, like, gorgeous, but they're also, like, not shit-ass heels like the Bellas were or whatever. They're better than the Bellas.
Peyton Royce is a better wrestler than Billie Kay. Billie Kay fucking sucks. She's dreadful.
Billie's so funny, dude. Billie's got charisma for days. They're like a
I love Billy Kay.
They were like the Bellas. If the Bellas could wrestle, you're exactly right, Kevin. They were like a fucking like a indie Bellas, you know.
Leo Rush, November 11th.
Hey.
Who, of course, is now, you know, tag teaming with that one guy on AEW. And I see gold in their future, but we'll get to that. Disco Inferno, November 12th. And let's see here. How far do we go with this? To the 13th, right? To the 15th. So let's see. We have Sara Del Rey on the 13th. La Parca on the 14th.
She's a trainer now.
And Albert on the 14th also. I'm thinking that's Prince Albert, maybe.
He has many names. He has Albert, Tenzai, A-Train, all those fucking names. And none of them fucking sticked. He was never over. Fuck him.
I think Albert. We had him on a birthday a couple of weeks ago.
He was over in New Japan. He was over in New Japan for sure, dude. Those matches are sick whenever he was in New Japan.
Oh, yeah, he was over there.
That's New Japan. That's New Japan, but this is the big league we're talking about.
Oh, hell. Kalisto,
I liked when they brought him back as Tensai. That's looked it back on as, like, one of the shittier, like, re-debuts for people is Tensai coming back as Tensai, but I thought that it was fucking cool. And I don't know. Ooh. I always liked Albert. You know, when I was a kid, I always liked Albert a lot, so happy birthday.
That was, like, one of the first people, honestly. I mean, but I could really tell that it was him. I was like, come on, man. Who the fuck are they fooling with this? That's fucking Prince Albert.
I heard he was a piece of shit. I heard he was a piece of shit agent in the fucking performance center. I heard.
Because, I mean, when it was fucking Doom and them, you know, I really couldn't tell it was Butch Reed and fucking... I couldn't tell for the life of me. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, man. Fucking Prince Albert. Kalisto, November 14th. And, the big dog. The big one. The big one. Tegan Knox, November 15th. And Randy Savage would be celebrating a birthday on November 15th.
Oh, yeah.
1952, Randy Savage. So that is our
team. So nice.
I was talking about Kalisto yesterday too. I was talking about Kalisto yesterday because I was watching Raw. I guess Rey Mysterio's on Raw. I was watching Raw, and Rey fucks up his promo. Rey's like doing a promo backstage, and he's like, you know, if Seth Rollins wants then he just needs to come out. Like, well, I don't understand why, and he like was stumbling over his words real bad for a second, and then it reminded me of when Kalisto was like, I just want to go do a good lucha thing. And then he's like, fuck!
Was that when Austin Theory came in and fucking took a selfie behind their back after what's-his-name got fired?
Yeah. Ray like had the promo for the first half, and then he like forgot the middle, and then he like came back on the end real strong. But you could tell
Ray
forgot
that promo.
How is one of Randy's promos? He's like, you're one speck of sand, and I'm the whole desert.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, you're one speck of sand, and I'm the whole desert.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Elizabeth, actually, her birthday is not far away. In fact, it'll be next week sometime, November 19th. So that's that. So that was the birthday segment. So give them a round of applause for the fucking birthday. Right?
Yeah,
happy fucking birthday. This day in history, we got... This day in history, and I think we have, this day in history, retro time. Retro. All right, retro. This day in history, goddamn. 65 years ago, guys, in St. Louis, Missouri. Do you guys even know who the fuck Luke Fez is?
Yeah, he's the reason why.
Yeah,
good.
I'm glad you guys know Luke Fez. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But I know who he is.
I know who Luke Fez is. That's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, there you go. He's the guy who used to go from city to city fucking shit up. He defeated Whipper Billy Watson to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah, he was that guy that they always talked about when Ric Flair was champion. Luthez Press. There's even a move called the Luthez Press. So, he won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship 65 years ago today in St. Louis, Missouri.
He was a carny. 46,
yeah, he was. One of the biggest carnies out there, man. But, he had to love it, man, back then. He had to fucking love it, which I'm sure they still do, just in a different way.
That's when it was really real, like really fucking real. Like, the other wrestlers would stab you if you fucking, broke kayfabe,
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine it being like that today, dude. We'd have dead motherfuckers everywhere. We wouldn't be able to have enough wrestlers to sustain. I mean, shit.
Those old fucking grandpas were exposing the business, dude. Don't kid yourselves. Those guys were fucking out there. They were sitting in the stands. People were like, that ain't real. They ain't really hitting each other. Look, they're stamping their foot whenever they punch. To this day,
you don't let them chop you in the fucking chest, then, motherfucker, if you don't think that's real. Get in that room.
Christian, all of a sudden it becomes real for Christian.
I'll have to
imagine
if my cousin Dino's listening here. There was a story, another one from back from like Devo, like in the late 60s, maybe like 70s or something like that, where there was a fucking wrestling match in Devo, and like this is a long history of wrestling in South Texas. I think it was Mil Máscaras. I could be mistaken. Mil Máscaras was wrestling there, and he was working as a heel. And he was talking shit to everybody and just being a fucking complete heel asshole. And my uncle said that they saw him at Whataburger later that night after the show, buying all these kids hamburgers. He was like, "What the fuck? That fucking phony piece of shit!" And everybody was like freaking out. They were like,
"Talk about
guys
exposing the business." Yeah, talk about exposing the business.
He better go in there and spit on all those burgers. Spit on every kid's cheeseburger. That's much better.
Yeah, unless he was doing it to get out of there alive. Shit. No, but man, I mean, exposing the business has been going on quite a while now, I guess, when you put it like that. But 46 years ago, in Greensboro, North Carolina, Terry Funk defeated Paul Jones to win.
I'm sorry, bastard.
The NWA United States Heavyweight Championship. Now, this championship was vacated following the October 4th plane crash that killed pilot Joseph Farkas and injured Ric Flair, David Crockett, Bob Bruggers, Tim Woods, and then United States champion Johnny Valentine. So, yeah, that plane crash took out the pilot and injured the rest of the guys. I'll tell you what, man, that pilot... He probably, if it was like that and only he died, they tried to make a landing. And, they came to a halt when he hit something and he was right up there in the cockpit. And that's why he died.
We talked about this about a year ago. We talked about the same thing about a year ago, didn't we?
Yeah. No, I know we talked about Rick Pratt.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Ric Flair had a broken neck. His pilot fucking died, and the other passengers got injured.
Oh, you're saying we did it a year ago on this day in history? Like, we're just going back?
It wasn't this day in history. It was just a random discussion.
There you go.
No, we didn't. I mean, it was.
That actually was about a year ago. But I digress. So, but yeah, that happened.
Ric survives.
Rick survives and like loses all of his body mass. He had this huge body at the time. He was fucking stacked. And then he fucking comes back. And he wrestled like 6 weeks later. Like it was like some crazy, maybe it was like 3 weeks, but he still had like a broken back and he worked a match. Like with a broken back.
I remember when he got a broken back, dude. He looked completely different.
Man, it's almost like Ric Flair and planes don't fucking mash well together, huh? You know, it's a common thing.
Nice. Fish is bringing the fucking humor tonight.
Yeah.
22 years ago, guys, at a SmackDown taping in Baltimore, Maryland, Arnold Schwarzenegger guest stars to promote his new movie, End of Days. Now, along with some of the usual hobnobbing with wrestlers and shit, Vince McMahon presents the future governor with an honorary WWF belt and gets involved in the main event, pimp slapping then WWF champion Triple H back into the new generation era. Just pimp slapping right back to the new generation era. You guys remember this?
This wasn't in the new generation era. This when this was happening.
No. Yeah, but he pimp slapped him back to the new generation era.
Yeah. I remember that Arnold was holding the WWF title on SmackDown. Was this this episode where he was holding it, or was it just a customary title that they?
No, it
gave
was just
him?
An honorary title that they gave him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At least that's what it
was. Yeah, I remember this episode. This was during a time, again, that Triple H, for some reason, started hating Vince McMahon, and he wanted to get him back for no reason whatsoever. He tried to marry his daughter, and then, you know, it turns out it was all a big swerve. Stephanie was in on it, and, yeah.
Schwarzenegger, for his part, though, or for his parts, was inducted in the Celebrity Ring of the WWE Hall of Fame in 2015 and is a playable character in WWE 2016, both in his human and Terminator forms. Now, when he becomes a character like that, guys, I'm not a gamer, at least not anymore. Is he going to be in future games as well, or? He was in 2016.
Every year they do like a special edition character where if you buy the DLC or if you pre-order the game, you get the special character. And he was the special character that year.
Gotcha. Sweet.
Yeah, he sucked, by the way.
Yeah, they all sucked. Arnold Schwarzenegger in WWE sucked. Not on TV, but on the video game, it was shit. That game sucked. Anyways. I
let's see. I think we got a couple more.
Ooh.
Here's one.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there, but NXT just announced War Games. I guess earlier tonight during the show. So War Games is December 5th. I'm definitely going to be watching that one because I love War Games.
I'm sorry to break it to you, but there's not going to be no takeovers no more. So it's just going to be on TV in the USA channel.
Wow.
Eh.
No more takeovers?
No.
Sucks. That sucks. That fucking sucks. 13 years ago, guys, TNA presented Turning Point.
Okay.
Eric Young last eliminated Jay Lethal to win a 10-man X Division rankings match. Roxy and Taylor Wilde defeated Awesome Kong and Raisha Saeed.
Awful.
Rhino defeated Sheikh Abdul Bashir. And Beer Money Incorporated defeated the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, to retain the TNA World Tag Team Champions. That was all about Beer Money.
That so far sounds like the best match of the whole show so far.
Booker T defeated Christian Cage to retain the TNA Legends Championship. Christian Cage was a legend back then. Already. He was already a legend. What is he now? Is he post-legend now? Is that what you would consider him? Post-legend?
No, he's retiring.
Kirk Angle defeated Abyss in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash defeated Samoa Joe. And Sting defeated none other than AJ freaking Styles.
World Heavyweight
Championship.
Wow. So the young talent gets fucking buried in their own show. What a great company.
Isn't that crazy?
The young talent all got buried to the old big WWE cats, except for, of course, Beer Money. Because they weren't with WWE.
James Storm went to WWE for a short spell.
Really?
He was in NXT. Yeah. He was in NXT for a short while for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, I remember that after the fact. That was after this. Yeah.
That sounds like shit. Like on paper, the matches sound okay, but then the old guys win every match. That kind of sucks.
Does Kevin Nash really have to fucking win against Samoa Joe?
No, Kevin Nash beating Samoa Joe makes zero sense. That's the one that pissed me off.
It's just all these guys were working the heels. You know, all the younger cats, the TNA originals, were all heels at that point. And it's just kind of how it worked out.
No, they weren't. They were the faces.
Samoa Joe had to be the baby face.
Samoa Joe was the heel.
No, he wasn't. This was during the time with the main event Mafia, and all the TNA originals were feuding with them. They were trying to kill their company.
I thought this was around the time that Samoa Joe had cut that promo on Scott Hall, which kind of turned him heel.
That was not really heel shit because Scott Hall was an asshole for that. So that wasn't really a heel promo. That was just Samoa Joe being truthful.
The truth hurts, baby. The truth hurts. That's what's going on there with that pay-per-view. Let's see if I've got any others.
What about the...
You got one?
No, I'm just asking, do you have the last one or what?
One more. Why not? Raw from Sheffield, England. And by the way, aren't they going to England like this week or next week or some shit?
No.
No? I thought they were.
No.
But 12 years ago, Raw from Sheffield, England, former boxing welterweight champion Ricky Hatton came in, defeated Chavo Guerrero by knockout in a boxer versus wrestler match. What the fuck?
That's obviously just exhibition shit. Because that's what one of the best wrestling countries want to see in London. That's what London people deserve. See a fucking boxer beat up a professional wrestler. That's what fucking the UK deserves to watch. Okay.
So yeah, that wraps up the fucking retro.
That's
fucking
horrible
bullshit. But yeah, that's what we had. Retro. We're gonna go a little bit longer before we take a break. Because I got some more shit we need to talk about, guys. I got some more shit. And if you look over the show, the itinerary for the show, you can see the tags that I put. I wanted to start out with this one here. Let's go with Shane Helms.
He's an asshole.
In the news. He's talking about how fans shouldn't invest in behind-the-scenes rumor mills. That's what he's talking about. He says, I promise all wrestling fans, if you stop investing in this behind-the-scenes rumor mill horse shit, you'll enjoy pro wrestling so much more. Imagine giving this much attention to behind-the-scenes shit with movies and other TV shows. Why? So stupid.
People do.
Hey, asshole. Wait a minute, asshole. If you don't want people to pay attention to behind-the-scenes shit, stop making documentaries about behind-the-scenes shit on your fucking network then, you schmuck.
The most almost unanimously, those almost unanimously promote their respective industries. They don't tear them down for ad clicks, he goes on. He says, you not recognizing that you're being worked by websites doesn't make you right. So, I love wrestling. People that tear it down aren't for me. That's what he said when people were answering him on Twitter. And somebody else fucking brought up some shit about Walking Dead and how the show usually spotlights, you know, what went on behind the scenes on, you know, The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, and all that shit. He said, I don't care about that show either. But that show puts over The Walking Dead. It doesn't shit on it for ad clicks. It's a massive difference. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what he said.
He's talking about us. He's talking directly. He's talking directly to you, Chuck.
Why me? Why me? I'm just the ringleader of this. You know, I just give you guys the platform so you guys can talk shit.
He's confusing one thing. We're not tearing down professional wrestling. We're tearing down your shitty company. That's
the product.
One thing. Let's get that.
We're tearing down the product.
Yeah, let's get that. Yeah. And second of all, you're a fucking kiss-ass schmuck. You fucking defended all those people getting fired last week, especially Nia Jax, you fucking schmuck. Go fuck yourself. You're no fucking superhero. You're a fucking shill. You're a kiss-ass douchebag yes-man and a fucking suit. You're just he's just as bad as Booker T because he's also a kiss-ass.
Well, enjoy it, then.
Man. All right.
Enjoy
Tell
it,
me.
Then.
You did not just say
don't
that.
Let it take away.
Tell
just
me.
Don't let it take away
you
from your enjoyment.
You did not just say that.
Booker T, I'm set.
Christian, my man, I'm sorry you feel that way, you know. Tell me. I don't know. No, I didn't become a five-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion by sucking ass, becoming a shill.
Your title reigns suck, bro. Nobody even remembers how your fucking title reigns had your five times. That means you're a five-time loser, you idiot.
Oh, my God. Stop it. You
Stop
realize
there.
That's Kevin you're talking to, right?
I know.
Christian's got, like, a whole company. Like, Christian's from Philly. He's got, like, right, ECW is from Philly, right? Like, it was that's where the birthplace of ECW is, Philadelphia?
And Rocky Balboa. He is Rocky Balboa.
So you have a whole federation. Well, I guess I have more in Houston, but, like, you're talking about my hometown hero, and, like, who do I make fun of? Raven or somebody? I don't know. Raven's probably from fucking Seattle.
You making fun of Booker T?
Christian was making fun of Booker T, yeah.
Why?
He called him
a kiss-ass.
He's a badass. Christian's not wrong. Booker T is a shill. And Shane Helms is a shill, too. They're two of my favorite WWE superstars of all time, though. I loved the Hurricane as a kid. But, no, these guys are just out of touch. They're just grandpas. That's okay. They're grandpas with Twitters.
Grandpas with Twitters. I like that.
What if Lou Fez had a Twitter? What do you think Lou Fez would be saying about today's product if he had a Twitter? That'd be some shit.
Be like tighten up the chin lock. Tighten up that. Supposed to work to the right.
Like, oh, shit.
Tighten up the chin lock. And then an hour later, go face me.
What do you think Dan Severn's Twitter looks like?
Oh, my God, again.
Dan Severn has a picture of all his fucking titles that he's worn from years ago, saying, well, you guys remember, on this day, I won this title. On this day, I won this title. Nobody cares, you just, Dan.
You just get knocked out as soon as you click on his profile. That's what happens.
So, Christian, if Dan Severn showed up at your house, What would you ask him, or would you talk shit, or like would you ask him questions, or like do you even like Dan Severn?
I ask him this. why were you such a boring motherfucker in the WWE? Why were you boring?
Well, you see, they wanted me to wear 666 on my head. They wanted me to go out there and be Undertaker's disciple.
And then after I say all that, I spit him in the face and lock my front door.
I heard they were going to give him Val Venus's gimmick before he before Val Venus came into the company.
What?
It's not within my contract. You would say it's not within my contract to go out and like show your major talent that I could actually like throw him out of the ring with that ass.
Yeah, we watched the interview with him yesterday where he's like, and it sounds like total bullshit, but Dan Severn's saying, he's like, well, so they said they could make me start losing if I don't change my gimmick. They could make me start losing matches. And I said, well, you could try to make me lose matches, or I could go out there and make all your guys look like shit and start breaking arms. And like, you know, I was like, oh, my God. But he sounds like he's fucking lying, dude. He sounds like that conversation never fucking happened. Like, he's just making that shit up.
I don't know. I
wouldn't say that to his face.
I think it's true.
Let's move on to this.
Okay.
He might come back.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up with a little break. And we'll come back. All right. We still got a lot of shit to talk about, but we're going to regroup right now. And I'm going to give you the real reason why I am not drinking beer tonight. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned for that. And we'll be right back with more Little Boy Radio.
Severn up to these days.
Last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray t-shirt around town.
Yeah. going from city to city with that music playing in the background.
Wrist tape stuff.
Ding, ding,
he's
ding,
like,
ding,
hey, y'all sell wrist tape? He walks into a Walgreens, you sell wrist tape? They're like, no, sir, sorry.
Ding,
just
ding,
like
ding,
a buff fucking Freddie Mercury, I guess. He is the buff Mercury.
Yeah.
Dan Severn's probably one of our favorite
wrestlers.
Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Imagine being Dan Severn's kids and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat and this song starts fucking playing and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking gray t-shirt smoking.
Oh, God.
think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like, because they perk up, like they turn extra black.
I wouldn't fuck with that, dude. There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, but that's one that I would not fuck with.
I like one of these fucking dudes that like you walk up to him, stuff to him, and he'll like punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking Popeye.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly, and we've got Ricky, special guest. Thank you so much for joining us, Ricky.
Hello.
What's going on, Ricky? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for joining us tonight, bud. We're going to talk about some different shit tonight. Hey, you know, we talk about the weekly report and stuff, but, you know, I'd like for you to hang around with us tonight because we're going to talk about some other shit as well, all right? For example, the COVID-19 testing and the vaccine and the COVID-19 vaccine and the talent. And, you know, there's a lot of shit going on right now, like, was this talent that was released recently, do we know, was it because of COVID not being vaccinated?
No.
Do we know that?
No. I think they're going to use that as a fucking excuse and budget cut reasons of why they got fucking fired. Because Nia Jax, going back to her Instagram thing, she said there was no talks about her vaccination or COVID-19 testing. So that was not it. So I think they're going to use that as a fucking excuse.
Well, here's the thing. We had 18 people released, including Nia Jax, Karrion Kross also, Scarlett Bordeaux, B-Fab. So B-Fab is Brianna Brandy, okay? Gren Metalik. I don't know what their status is, but I do know that it's a problem for the NFL. And in contrast, Tony Khan was talking about this, and he said that he's not making it mandatory for his roster to get vaccinated. And I wanted to get the opinion of you guys. What do you think about, how do you stand on it if the roster should be vaccinated or not? And I mean, like, is this a problem for WWE? Do you think? We don't know. Nobody has said anything. I know, Aaron Rodgers last week had to sit out the game because he had contracted COVID. He had lied about his status. This came out. Now he's getting roasted. I mean, people have the fear. People are living in fear of, you know, being exposed for not having the vaccine is what looks like is happening right now. And where do you guys stand on that? Are you okay with that? Or what are your thoughts? One by one, let's go. Ricky, your thoughts on that.
Okay, so I have a very close-to-home story about my mom, one of my mom's oldest friends. I've known him, early on, went deer hunting up in Texarkana, Arkansas, and he didn't get vaccinated, and he got caught with COVID. Everybody else in his family is vaccinated. He fucking caught COVID, and he died because of it. Now, my understanding, and I know that, like, there's a lot of other crap out there. My understanding is when you get vaccinated, everything – I got COVID before I got vaccinated, and, like, it was very, like, small. But, he died. Maybe if he would have got vaccinated, it wouldn't have been that serious of a cause, and he could still live. So I'm under – I think vaccination is good. Like, we got the flu vaccine. I mean, we get medicine. I mean, I understand it's a new thing, but we get you know, the flu stuff before, whatever vaccinated. I'm all for the vaccination. I think everybody should get vaccinated, but that's just me. And everybody's entitled to their own choice. You can do your own thing, but don't be sitting in a hospital bed unvaccinated, wishing you had got vaccine and you're dying of COVID. That's all I'm saying.
That's one of the reasons why I got vaccinated. And as you know, I'm a staunch conservative. But hey, man, at the end of the day, you have to make decisions that are good for you. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't want to be sitting there, like I said in the little commercial, I have a little, public service announcement that I did for it. Like I say, I don't want to be sitting there getting badgered by a freaking reporter asking me why I didn't get vaccinated. When it was that simple, I could have gone to go get vaccinated. I've never understood these non-vaxxer people. They don't want to get vaccinated from getting polio or whatever the fuck, you know, all these. You know, when you're a kid, you get these vaccines, right? And they're for that type of shit. So, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do that if it's something that's going to help you not contract something fucked up like that. Kevin?
I'll go next. The thing with the businesses and the mandatoriness of it all is like, yes, I think that the vaccine is good and I'm vaccinated and I think that people should get vaccinated. I'm also, I think that people should just educate themselves and do whatever, like you said, like do what is best for them. Because like, even though I've been vaccinated, I'm not necessarily running back for boosters or thinking like, I'm not as stressed about it because I haven't contracted COVID. I have habits in place and stuff like this that like, you know, I've like, and things may change where I may boost up, you know. But I'm saying, like, it's not anybody's business. It shouldn't become anybody's business. And it shouldn't become a situation where it's like, hey, this guy didn't get it. Hey, this guy, hey, you're excluded. Like, that's going to become a scary thing if it's over this, over, you know, I don't know. I could see if it was like a, I don't know. And then you want to compare it to a make-believe disease.
But we're going to have, if you're a company owner and you employ over 100 people, come January, everybody's going to have to get vaccinated, or if they don't, they're going to have to go weekly testing.
With wrestlers, because we're talking about it in the context of wrestling, these people are independent contractors, and there's like different rules and shit that should be in place for them as contractors. It just falls under that thing. Like that blanket should like cover all this shit, and it doesn't. And WWE gets to make up rules for whatever they want. Or wrestling companies get to make up rules for whatever they want, you know. But I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm justifying or like vindicating for people, or advocating for people that are not vaccinated. But it is a rights thing, and I can at least see that side of the argument where if people don't want to get it because they're scared to get it, that's the same as the people that want to get it because they're scared to not get COVID, you know. So I hear you. So whatever.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's okay to have different opposing views on it. That's what makes it so polarizing. Albert?
Well, politics aside, right, let's leave politics aside for just a second and say that, that vaccination is part of the company's wellness policy. To me, it's same as like, you know, their no marijuana policy. I don't know how loosely they enforce that now, maybe a little bit looser, but, you know, anti-steroid policy, all these things that the main company believes that are going to keep the performer safe. So if the boss says, yeah, you have to be vaccinated, you have to be vaccinated to wrestle in the WWE. You have to be 100%. It's part of the company's wellness policy. Now I'm with Kevin on that too. It's like, okay, if you don't want to get it, then I mean that's your choice. But I got it. I'm vaccinated. I feel good about it. And but you know,
yeah,
ultimately,
same way.
If you're going to work for a company, and they say that you can't wear, I'm not trying to compare it, but maybe I am just a little bit. You got to wear the company uniform, man. You have to play ball.
The only thing that makes me think of that is the fact that they're contractors, you know. So what else benefits? What other benefits come with them doing things like that, you know? And maybe I'm wrong.
What, them getting vaccinated?
I mean, the benefit of them getting vaccinated is they don't die of COVID. Yeah, I get that. But I'm saying, like, if WWE is going to make more requirements and stuff like this, and then they can fire them out of the blue and leave people stranded with work visas in the country, have to go, like, sell all their shit and move back home. Like, all these nightmare situations that came with people that just got fired,
yeah,
like, they're contractors. So you're going to require this person to make a moral decision for themselves to get a fucking vaccine that they may or may not be sure about.
What?
And then you can still fucking...
That's for them to work in the sense that they were used to working in, and like their formal, like their employment in like being in that stuff, and it's like a new requirement for them. If they don't want to get vaccinated, then they can go off and find a new job. Like
that's what they've done. I mean,
yeah,
that's essentially what
it's like Aaron Rodgers or whatever, like that crap. Like you, but NFL is like a way bigger thing than WWE is.
I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, Albert, but you know what I mean. Like because they're contractors, and it's like you're requiring that and other things. Like that's the gray area I'm talking about, where it's kind of weird for them to require.
It is a gray area, and you didn't interrupt my thought because it was kind of it was kind of completed there. But you know, I was with the idea too that you know if you absolutely are terrified of this vaccine and you absolutely do not want to take it, take a biweekly test or a weekly test, you know, or a test before you go out there, you know, and be tested for COVID if, you know, that's the case. And I'm not encouraging that either. I'm not advocating, you know, for not taking the vaccine, but I understand
that
it is people's choices.
The more I think about it, the answer is just that everyone should get the vaccine. I think that a lot of people are starting to think that way, and if they're not, then that's their right. But, yeah, I think that a lot of people have come around and lost people close to them now, too, like where there's been some – this stuff has, like, touched everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last I heard of it, I talked to somebody, like, not 2 weeks ago, and I was out changing. I was changing his crane tires. And I was like, well, I'm vaccinated. And he was like, well, I'm not vaccinated because I don't want to, like, basically, he was using a ridiculous thing to say. He's like, I don't want 20 years down the line to grow a dick out of my back or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I'm like, no, it's not like that, buddy. Like, are you not, like, do you not need flu shots? You get flu shots every once in a while. It's not like that. Like, because I had COVID. I didn't have a severe bout with COVID, but I lost my taste and smell. I lost it. I knew I didn't want to be in a hospital bed, like breathing for my life, like you're breathing for your last lung, like how my mom's friend did. And so, like, getting vaccinated is like a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
you know?
We all just want to disclaim that. Like, you'll get the shot. Christian, we didn't do you yet, buddy.
Well, with the whole vaccinations and all that?
If it's the,
I mean,
like if the wrestling companies are requiring it, I guess is the question.
I mean, if it's not mandatory, it gives people freedom of choice if they want it or not. I'm not going to force anybody saying, if you don't want it, fine, you don't have to take it, but at least wear a mask to protect the other people. So if AEW is doing this, then good on them. But if WWE is mandatory asking people to take vaccinations, knowing that some have, like, personal beliefs or like religious beliefs, then that's kind of bad because that's terrible for morale, you know. Like Sasha Banks is an example, right? Like she's anti-vax, and if it's mandatory for her, she might not come back, you know. Like it's like not good for business, not good for morale, you know. You have to give people a choice to do.
I don't think they are
mandatory.
I don't think they are. She is. Yeah, she said stuff like that. Yeah.
Like,
well,
like
according
all
to government, according to government mandate, they're going to make, you know, any company that has over 100 people, it's mandatory. And if you don't do it, you have to, you know, test weekly. So they still have a choice. They're still going to have a choice. But frankly, I mean, you know, we know by now that people have died from this. You know, it looks like a lot of people, but when you compare it to, you know, how many people there are in the earth, it's still less than 1%. If you catch it, you die, less than 1%. But still, there's still that chance. And, you know, that's why I took it. I don't want to die from something and fucking, you know, when I had a chance to get a silly little shot to stop it. I mean, get the fuck out of here. But I digress. But still. I also think at the same time that it shouldn't be forced on someone. But, you know, if that's what they want to do, not take the the fucking vaccine, then don't be bitching about it when you're in the fucking hospital.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's
Chuck, it's like they say, you know, it's like oh, you have a 99% chance survival rate of it. You know what I mean? But it's like it goes back to the whole thing. It's like, dude, if you have a bowl of 100 M&Ms and one of them will kill you, are you going to eat one M&M, you know?
I mean, there you go. That's great logic. That's great.
My thing is like, if your livelihood is what you do for a living and they want you to get vaxxed and you want to walk away from that, it's your choice. It's definitely your choice not to get vaccinated. It's definitely
That's
it's
true.
All up to that. But if you want to walk away from your livelihood and go do something else, that's fine. But if you're in that position, say Aaron Rodgers or whatever, he fucking lied. He lied about all that shit. But, like, whatever. Like, that's your livelihood. So what are you going to do? You're going to go off and do something else? Or are you going to get back? I'm not saying it's like
yeah.
a poor thing. Make your own decisions. I'm all about, like, I'm not right-leaning. I'm like a hippie, like, but I'm like a Texas hippie. It's weird. It's different. Like, I'm conservative, all about, like, going out, like, you know, working for a living, like, doing your own thing. But, like, I was, as soon as someone said, hey, you can get, you're like, able to get your first shot, I went in instantly, got my first shot, got my second shot, and I'm probably going to go get the booster next week.
Yeah, I just don't want to live in all – my takeaway is I don't want to live in a world where people are being forced to do this shit. People are being forced.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to be a force and, like, where you're not included now because you didn't do this. You're not in for that.
And you hear those stories or you hear, like, people – I don't even know if it's, like, you know, whatever news that's, like, bringing out, like, wishing they would got vaccinated and they're sitting there and they're on their respirator.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
So –
That's why you should get the shot.
And they die.
Everybody
like,
should get
they
the
die
shot
like
whether they want to or not, or they're going to force us to, and then nobody's going to want that.
No, because we'll fight back. But, like, medicine. Yeah. No.
We're pretty much conflicted on that, but, you know, that's where we're at right now in 2021. Moving on, dudes, and this is actually a good way to move on because, you know, as Nia Jax said, or, you know, many people have said that there was no warning before releasing unvaccinated stars, is what the report says. Although the latest reports were for budgetary reasons, it was also reported that a handful of stars had refused to get COVID-19 vaccine, and they were not big enough stars to get away with that. So there's not a mention of any names, and there shouldn't be, because first of all, like the whole shit with Aaron Rodgers, also, it's a bunch of bullshit that got leaked out somehow. And when I say leak, I'm doing air quotes, leaked. You know, shit like that doesn't get leaked out. And if it does, it's intentional.
I think people in his organization, in the Green Bay Packers, him being Aaron Rodgers and being a big star, he could get away with it until he caught COVID, and that's where it bit him in the ass.
Yeah, there you go.
But the NFL is a completely different monster than WWE is. Way
so
more of a different monster.
Here's the thing. What happened was that some of these main roster talents can't tour foreign countries without being vaccinated. And, of course, this creates issues. So that was the deal. Also in some of these cuts, it was also reported that age was also part of, you know, part of what the deal was with the releases of this group. Because they're looking to get younger talent on TV.
They fired their youngest talent. They fired a 19-year-old from NXT.
Obviously, they probably, you know, maybe didn't like him for some other reason. But the majority of these people, there's a lot of them that are older.
And then I can't think of what the girl's name is. But the thing is like she was the youngest talent to ever be signed or something like this. And then she was 18, maybe 19. And then the other girl, Aaliyah, who's on SmackDown now, she is like a year older than the girl. And so now they're booking that girl as the youngest girl. I don't know. I just read that in the dirt sheets.
Nia Jax's claim, to quote her, she says, "I recently took a short leave of absence from WWE for a mental health break. I've been working through so much, more than I can share. And so I took some time, the full support of the company, and to take care of myself. Earlier this week, after WWE sent me my schedule to return to the ring for November 15, I asked for an extension to my mental health break, feeling that I needed more time and hoping I would have the ongoing support of the company I had given my all for the past 7 years. I did not receive a response. The next I heard, I was being released. My vaccination status was never mentioned." So that's where she's at. I don't know if maybe she's one of the people that is not vaccinated, and that's what I would like to know.
I was being sarcastic at the beginning of the episode when I mentioned Nia. I was being totally sarcastic about being sad that she's gone, but like it, now I'm like, it's like halfway sarcastic. Like I am halfway sad that she's gone.
you're even more conflicted now.
No, hear me out. Like I would have loved to see Nia Jax get better and improve. All these people, I would love to see them be in this. You know, the way WWE portrays their shit as this machine where they, you know, the performance center and this WWE system, and it's supposed to make them into these great superstars. I would love to see that work. But all we ever get to see is to see it fail. And Nia Jax is a perfect example of that. They had it. They could have. There's no excuse. She's been there for 7 years. Like she said, what the fuck were they doing for 7 years? Because like y'all all said, she sucks. She would injure people. She would move bad in the ring. But she would have these shining moments where she would be really cool and funny. And she was a very pretty, bigger girl and like very good for that demographic and this like thing that they're trying to represent on TV, which they've replaced with Doudrop. I mean, that's not like a hidden thing either. They're doing shit like this where they're representing. They fired Maya. Now they're pushing Doudrop, and it's like, I don't know. That's a weird dynamic. If you want to really get onto it,
it breaks my heart to be so abruptly let go without consultation, while dealing with so much privately. I love my career at WWE. I love the men and women I work with. And I'm going to need time to process this huge loss. I appreciate those people who have shown understanding and compassion during an incredibly difficult time.
It's just the idea of these superstars. Look at Karrion Kross. Look at Kross and Scarlett. There's other people on this list that, like, look at Eva Marie. They brought Eva Marie back in to be this thing. I'm not trying to get off the rails, but I'm just saying, like, this is where WWE fails, is they can't make these stars that they claim that they can.
We are actually, Kevier, that's a great point that you're making. Perhaps this is WWE's way of saying, you know what, we're gonna fucking prove what they're saying we can't do. We're going to get rid of all these fucks that we've had in our miserable company for these past years. Fucks that we could have fucking turned into fucking huge superstars, but we told them, ah, fuck you. And we're at where we're at now. So we're just going to go ahead and get rid of everybody, and we're going to start over. And we're going to make our own new talent, and we're going to prove to all of you, fuck you. I am Vince McMahon. I'm Vince McMahon. It was me all along.
Or he's just out of his fucking mind, firing people for no reason whatsoever, and he's only going to push Roman Reigns till the end of fucking time. I'll go with the second option.
Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Eva Marie, Nia Jax, of course, who we talked about, our beloved Nia Jax. I'm going to miss her. Ember Moon.
Can we not ignore the fact that Keith Lee almost fucking died and they still fired him, you know? Man almost died from a real heart thing.
I know, dude.
And they brought him back. They brought him back with a stupid fucking gimmick, calling him fucking Bearcat, and they still fired his ass.
Man, I'm actually, at this point, I'm surprised they didn't bring him back dancing and shit. before they fired him. I mean, I can't believe it. That guy, to me, that guy is, they just totally fucking wasted that. They squandered him. I don't even know much about him other than what I've seen on, since he's been on the main roster. I hadn't seen any of his shit from NXT or anything like that, but I know that the guy could be good. I know that. You can see his work.
Keith Lee's best up was on the indies. Keith Lee would like do a lot of really funny stuff during his matches, but it was still like, it made sense. It wasn't like Orange Cassidy. He was like, he would be like funny. He would sing and talk shit while he was wrestling, and that was what got
was
him.
Was it like
people.
Ivan Putski type shit?
He would like, when people got hit really hard, he would be like, oh Lord, he would like do shit like that. He would like sing like church. He would do shit like that.
Yeah. So continue with the list, Minister, because there's two superstars.
So yeah,
I want to
Carrie say. Smith, Scarlett, B-Fab, Katrina Cortez, Trey Baxter, Frankie Monet, Grand Metalik, Jeet Ramos, Zeta Ramir, Oni Lorcan, Lince Dorado, and Jesse Kamea.
Now I want to bring up those three names. One is Lince Dorado and Grand Metalik. Don't tell me this is fucking coincidence that the previous night that these two got fired, Kalisto showed up in AEW for AEW Dynamite. Don't fucking tell me this was coincidental that two of his former partners in another company got fired the next day. Don't tell me that was fucking coincidental. They did that shit on purpose to get back at Kalisto that night. They did that shit on purpose.
I don't think, I don't know. I think it was already
come
in the cards.
No, Nick, come on. The next night when Kalisto shows up in AEW Dynamite,
let's talk about this again, though, because here we are. This was who did you say? Kalisto?
Yeah, Kalisto.
He was released in the earlier, wait a minute. Yeah, he was released in the earlier group.
Yeah.
But he showed up on AEW.
Yeah, so there you go.
He showed up in AEW one night. One episode, and then the next day they coincidentally fired his two partners in the other company.
Oh man! Oh, I see what you're saying now. That's fucked up.
And then another person that's fucked up in that list is fucking Taya Valkyrie, fucking John Morrison's wife. That for some reason they hired to do fuck all NXT. They didn't do anything with her, and then she gets fucking fired. What the fuck was the point in hiring Taya Valkyrie? You know John Morris is now fucking pissed because he still has that stupid gimmick of being a fucking guru yoga shit. Now he's even more fucking angry. I wasn't surprised why he didn't show up last night on Monday because he's probably fucking angry for them firing his wife.
Interesting.
Why?
Yeah, good observation, too.
Let's not forget also, this is a year that also, on besides these folks, we also had Bobby Fish, Mercedes Martinez, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas. We had a lot of other guys and girls. Bray Wyatt. I mean, Killian Dane, to name a few. Lars Sullivan, who was, you know, I didn't really care for the guy. Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Andrade, Samoa Joe. Right, the list goes on and on.
Can I
Alistair
do my
Black, Ruby Riott, Tyler fucking Breeze, Fandango,
Braun Strowman.
What's the
so?
For all in the name of budget cuts, guys.
The fucking lie. Budget cuts is a lie. They literally just announced on that same day that they fired those people that they made $625 million in the second quarter in revenue.
Yeah. all in the name of budget cuts.
Bullshit budget cuts is all a fucking lie.
It's
all NITCON, man. It's all NITCON.
In 2020, they fired Zelina Vega, Rusev, Eric Rowan, Epico, Zack Ryder, Primo, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, EC3, Kurt Hawkins, Leo Rush, Cassius Ohno. The list goes on and on and on. Mike Rotunda, Mike Chioda. It just goes and goes. Serena Deeb, Heath Slater. Heath Slater was a very entertaining guy. He was a great Nick Carter. They could have pulled the trigger on that guy at any moment and elevated him. But they never tried.
They don't have to, dude. Their show's still doing fine. Their show's still doing the same it was then. Probably. It's doing a little bit shittier, maybe. But you know what I mean? They're still just, chugging along without those people. So that's the thing.
Okay.
Had something I want to bring up. So what happens whenever Vince McMahon goes?
I feel like we've asked this before.
Part of this makes me think he is going to go. Part of this makes me believe that the reason he's doing this is to sell out.
Triple H had his heart condition, so they're saying that Triple H isn't going to. They're saying that Triple H is out of the picture. That's why they've rebranded NXT. That's why they've fired a lot of people that were Triple H's people. They're saying everybody online is saying there's a good chance that Vince McMahon's going to sell WWE to another corporation. It's going to get absorbed.
So AEW just fucking takes over as being the cool thing?
No, it would mean a lot if WWE got bought by. I think if Disney bought WWE, it'd be the best timeline. But if WWE sold to Disney, but if they sold to they could sell to anything.
Who wants to buy that? Because he has he bought it all. He was the Mickey Mouse of wrestling.
That's why there's only a couple of places that could buy it. There's only a couple of corporations that could probably buy it.
No, they're putting it in
Disney, but it's also a publicly traded company.
Disney being the obvious one. Just think, all of the fucking content could be owned by Disney one day. Imagine that. They're going to edit out all the good shit.
That's why we should all go back. We should just be AEW. Let's just go to AEW.
what are you getting? You know what I mean? The valuation of it. Think of how much they sold WCW for, which is not much. It was a couple of million dollars, not more than 20, right? If you sell WWE, right? Yeah, you're selling your business, dude. But really, realistically, what you're selling is the name and the video library of all the different companies from back then and WWF as well. You know what I mean? It's really not that much. You know what I mean? Like all the independent contractors and stuff like that too. But think about it. The Khan family could buy WWE if they wanted to. If it was for sale, it wouldn't be more than a billion. It would be close to a billion, but it wouldn't be more than $1 billion.
And it would just be shares, right? It would just be Vince selling his shares, or it would be it wouldn't be full sale of the company. It would just be Vince selling his share of the company.
So it's not owned by one person. There's a bunch of shares owned by one.
There's average Joe's
Steph couldn't just take it over. Trips couldn't take it over.
Yeah, it's a publicly traded company now. So once a publicly traded company, that's what a lot of people don't talk about too, is that once a company like that, a family company becomes public, the fucking family dynamic of the whole thing just goes out the fucking window. It doesn't matter who's next and going to run it. It could be. Look at Walmart or whatever. But it's more or less what the shop, what the board members, and what the majority
stockholders
want to run.
Have to vote on it and everything too.
Yeah.
People would have to vote on it beforehand.
Yeah.
My thing is, I don't wish the demise of that because whenever I grew up watching wrestling, it was WCW, WWF, and WWF was my favorite thing as a kid. Being a 5-year-old kid. This is completely different circumstances because when I was watching, the majority of my time was in the 90s, and that was the rise of that.
There's been good stuff since the 90s.
Yeah. Of course there's been good stuff since that.
I saw a cool fantasy booking, just real quick, where Triple H starts his own company. Like, since Triple H just cashes out his chips and starts another company separate from AW, separate from everybody else.
And he's still married.
And, like, Triple H just starts another fucking wrestling company that's, like, based off of, like, NXT, how he wanted it to be or whatever.
Yeah.
And it becomes, like, another, you know, and, like, we just see more wrestling companies popping up. Like, that would be cool, too. Who fucking
knows?
Where,
like,
AW did it. So, I mean, that's never going to happen, but, like, how fucking badass would that company be
if
Triple H just started his own shit?
Vince kind of started... He bought, like, all the territories back in the 80s or, like, whatever. And then now it's
or,
so big, it just, like, pops out and, like, it goes into other little different territories again. So wrestling is badass.
Or,
just,
really, or to really stick it to him, he could join the enemy. He could join AEW just to really stick it to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do there? I wouldn't want to see him wrestle against, somebody big over.
He's just probably going to help back behind the scenes stuff, you know.
Unless if he goes and puts Sting over.
Get Triple H.
No.
Get Triple H and Arn Anderson managing Cody Rhodes. Triple H is out there with Arn Anderson and Cody Rhodes just, like, pumping Cody up the whole time, and they're just, like, sucking Cody's butt, dude. And everybody's just booing their ass off. It's like, Cody's like, I want to bring out an old friend of mine, and they bring Triple H.
But he's not a sellout.
Oh, shit.
He's not a sellout.
Yeah.
King's been wrestling longer than fucking Triple H has, and he's still going.
Triple H is going, too. Triple H got hurt.
No. King has been wrestling longer than Trips,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. For sure.
And he's still out there, and he's still pulling out, like, good moves. And he's
but he retired for a little while, too. Sting got hurt, and he thought he was done.
Yeah.
And there's always that if and the but. I mean.
It's like Stone Cold's never going to come back.
I was thinking about that today. I was thinking, what if Steve Austin came back to fucking AEW all of a sudden and was just like, fucking. Like,
yeah, like Daniel Bryan got fixed. Why can't we're getting Stone
Come out here in your little fucking scarf, MJF. You talk all that shit. You little son of a bitch. Come here. Let me. Texas Ralph. Thanks. Hangman Page, I got to tell you. You're drinking light beer, son. Cowboy shit. I don't know, but it would be cool, but it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen, but it would be cool. Some of these guys are just loyal to WWE, like Shane Helms, like all these guys. They're just loyal to WWE. They're going
to
be
loyal to Vince.
I don't know, man. What if Shane Helms all of a sudden fucking goes to AEW as a backstage guy?
He's probably more of a carny. Like, he probably would do it. But I think that Stone Cold has some kind of daddy love for Vince McMahon.
He has to. I mean, Stone Cold put them on the map. Stone Cold brought them back.
Yeah.
There's always an if and or but. Stone Cold walked out on this man, too. Stone Cold took his ball and went home. He fucking left.
Yeah, they went to ECW and he found his own thing.
No, that was way before that. This was at the end. Steve left the company. He quit on Vince and just went home one night. So, I mean, Steve did say, fuck you.
Because he was on the top. Because he's on the top and he didn't want to get off the top. But that's Stone Cold. That's not Vince McMahon. He didn't want to give up the belt. No, he didn't want to give up. Who was it? He didn't want to give up the belt to someone?
Brock.
He didn't want to do that. He's like, no.
We're off the road, though. I don't know what the original question was.
Sorry.
So we had...
Did we drop the call?
No, we're good, bro. We're all good. But we had, the reason I'm not drinking, I'm in unity with John Moxley.
Yeah, that's right.
Last week, he recently announced that he, would... stepping out of the ring to enter a rehab center due to alcohol abuse. I was going to shit on this guy last week. I didn't get time to shit on him. I was going to shit on him. He looked like a freaking gorilla out there. But now I know why. He's being affected by the booze, man. The booze had got him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much booze he was drinking. And I don't know. One day he will tell us, I'm sure of this, because that's the type of guy he is. He's going to come out. He's going to share it with us.
He's going to come back. He's going to be fit as a fiddle. He's going to come back bigger, stronger, and better.
This was something, guys, that took a lot of people by surprise. It took me by surprise. I was completely shocked by it. But then, you know, at the time, you know, I was like, last week, I was like, man, get the fuck out of here. I can't stand with this guy the way he's being booked and shit and this whole thing. And then this comes out. So all of a sudden, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was, you know, the alcohol having him act the way he was acting. Because he was acting like an out-of-control lunatic. And I know that's his character, but goddamn, it was a bit much what he did to that kid last week. But nevertheless, he's received an incredible amount of support. And he's got my support. And I know that he's going to come back stronger, bigger, better, faster. So everything is being private right now. And we're going to respect his wishes. We're going to keep it private as well. We're not going to say anything bad about him. I mean, the guy's doing what he wants to do. He's obviously taking a step in the better direction for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, he's a better man than Jimmy Uso. You know?
There you go. I mean, in comparison, I mean, you know, there you go. That's something, you know, that's something that needs to be talked about with Jimmy Uso. Maybe, you know, Moxley, maybe what Moxley has done is going to, you know, somehow, you know, maybe Uso can learn from that. I mean, they might still keep up. But there's other wrestlers that have recently stepped away, guys. Of course, Nia Jax.
Booze has always been a part of wrestling. Booze has always been a part of professional wrestling since the fucking Carney days. You know what I mean? Like, these guys get fucked up. And it's not talked about as much now.
Hey, I get fucked up just to talk about it.
But yeah, it's just like, dude, there's videos of John Cena, like, fucking in some random-ass bar and some bumfuck nowhere singing karaoke somewhere, like, on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, there's fucking, there's all sorts of just these fucking crazy videos. They still go out and party. It's like the old days, you know? A lot of them still do. But a bit more responsibly, I guess. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But yes, you're right, Chuck. Hopefully this is a wake-up call to a lot of the boys and girls out there to maybe, you know, get some help, you know? And maybe things are changing finally.
Exactly. And so, you know, we've got other wrestlers that have stepped away. I'm going to talk about them right now. I'm going to give you a list, little rundown through my research. You know, other than John Moxley, of course, we mentioned her, Nia Jax, who stepped away. It wasn't for alcohol, but still, it was to get better, you know, to get help for themselves. And so that's what Nia Jax is saying that she did. Also, Jake Atlas, you guys remember, he was released by WWE recently. But it ended up being a blessing for him. He admitted that he was struggling with his mental health, which is why he decided to leave the wrestling business for the time being. He wanted to focus on himself and his health, which is a decision that, you know, was supported by fans. But guys, do you think a lot of this might have to do with also with social media?
Yeah. Fucking cretins, fucking bullying
fucking
wrestlers
media,
and fucking pressuring
people,
them.
Yeah, I could see it.
Fucking cretin. Give wrestling fans a bad name. Make us look fucking shit. Make the wrestling community look like shit, giving us a bad fucking name. Cretin.
Big Cass was in a similar situation to John Mox. Of course, after his time in WWE, he also entered into a rehab for alcohol. Of course, his deal was a little bit different than Moxley's. It wasn't kept private. I mean, everybody knew he had some problems. Moxley kept it a secret. I mean, it was a total freaking... I was shocked. I was shocked. And I was all pissed off because I wanted to shit on him. And I didn't get to shit on him. And then, like, the next day, or maybe even later that night, who knows, this is that news about him. And I like how they did it, too. He was not shy about it. He probably knew that it was going to come out. This shit always comes out. Well, he put it out through Tony Khan. I'm wondering if Tony Khan is picking up the bill on this, or if Vince McMahon is picking up the bill. Kylie Rae, of course, she's had a difficult career over the recent years. She's taken a couple of breaks from the ring to focus on her mental health. So that's another one. Roman Reigns, of course, stepped away. His circumstances were slightly different from others, but he did step away from the ring to get the help that he needed. Of course, we all remember he had his bout with leukemia in 2018. Shawn Michaels, he took a break during his career. Of course, we all know that, highly publicized.
He lost his smile.
He was, I'll tell you what, bro, that'll happen when you're addicted to alcohol and pills. You'll lose your fucking smile in a heartbeat. Stay away from that shit. Of course, he's famously known for addressing, you know, all his shit, all his demons. And, of course, Goldust. Can't forget Goldust. He was working in TNA, hit a difficult point in his life. He admitted that he was taking 60 to 70 pills a day, guys. Are you fucking kidding me? Who does that? So that was a tough situation for him, man. I'll tell you what, man. Goldust is in the best shape of his freaking life right now. That guy can fucking go. He still looks great out there in the ring when he's wrestling. I don't think I've ever seen him in better shape, guys. Anybody?
He's
good. He had a really good WWE run. His last WWE run was good. But
he's trimmed. He looks like he's trimmed like a bunch.
Yeah, he kicks ass. I liked whenever him and Daniel Bryan wrestled. That was a really cool match. He needs to quit painting half his face, though. Fuck all these half his face paint.
Yeah. Yeah, do the full thing. Stop being lazy there, Dustin. God damn it, if you're listening. No, but really, the guy's doing his best work of his entire career right now. You know, that's got to say something. He's 51 years old. He's doing the best work of his entire fucking career today. It's amazing. It's incredible.
It is amazing. It is incredible. Amazing. Amazing. But yeah.
I didn't understand Goldust like growing up, and then like now I love it. I like it a whole bunch.
Yeah, I love me some Goldust, and you know I'm starting to dig him now. He's got the, it's still Goldust, but it's different. But still, for a while there, I was like, no, man, get this guy off my fucking TV. But now that I see him, it's different. It just feels different for me. Maybe it's because of the AEW thing.
Yeah.
It's a fucking,
to be honest,
it's a stark contrast.
I think he wrestles better than Cody Rhodes does. But he's been in the business longer. Dude.
They're a little different. They're kind of cool because they're like Ken and Ryu. They do each other's moves, but they do them differently. They're like,
yeah.
They have this like kind of brother thing going on. It's really cool.
I like that.
Their psychology with their moves. Like where they mimic each other, call out to each other in their moves. So it's a lot.
And you know Kevin and Ricky love Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, baby. His boys are just the best wrestlers. We always love Dusty.
He's my favorite wrestler of all time.
Anything
to
do
with
always
Dusty Rhodes.
Beautiful.
Daddy. It's actually kind of funny because my daughter, she was like, she does it like she's like, Daddy. She's like, hey, let's go to the park, Daddy.
She's talking like Dusty Rhodes already.
Yeah.
Already, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah. She has the blonde hair, baby. And I'm like, hey, baby, where you want to go? She's like, I want to go swing, Daddy.
Christian, my friend, we got 10 minutes, man, for the WWE report.
Let's do this.
So... You know, if you want to give us 10 minutes of shit, We'll talk about it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami? Short and sweet, baby. Short and sweet. Short and sweet. 10 minute. 10 minute edition.
All right. So this report is fucked up. This whole week's been terrible. First of all, let's go to SmackDown real quick, right? The only thing I'm going to complain about SmackDown last week is Shotzi Blackheart and her fucking horrendous promo that she cut.
It was bad.
That promo was the worst fucking promo I've heard in a while. It was so forced. It was not believable. She talked like she was a fucking supervillain in the fucking 80s. It was horse shit. What are your thoughts on that?
I want to watch it again, actually. I want to watch it again. I watched it right before the show, and it was fucking bad. And I, like, made my wife watch it, and I was like, listen to this. And,
bro. Please don't make your wife watch that shit, bro.
I make her see the really bad stuff. I always show her the worst stuff. Like, look at how stupid this is.
That was Dolph Ziggler bad. That was Dolph Ziggler bad when they first started giving him a microphone. Nowadays,
no,
he can't, but back in the...
No, Dolph Ziggler has better promos than that.
Yeah, it was fucked up, man. Albert, you need to go back and check that out, bro.
Albert, it's horrible. She's talking like she's Rita Repulsa from fucking Power Rangers.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to watch it now. I'm definitely going to have to check that
out.
Really,
it's long. It's not a short promo. It's like a 30 second. They give her like 30 seconds to just talk. And she just talks like
loser.
This. I'm going to get them for what they've. I don't even remember exactly. I wanted to remember the lines because I wanted to talk about it on the show. But it wasn't.
I lost the support of the fans. I lost my tag team partner. And because of Sasa, I'm going to get her back.
Yeah.
Oh,
awful.
Man, fucking horrible.
Now we go to Raw. We go to the Bully Kevin Owens show, because that's what happened on Raw. This whole Raw has been nothing but Bully Kevin Owens. And you wonder why he fucking snapped. First of all, the man, Biggie's the worst champion ever, all right? His fucking, he's not doing good for the ratings, all right, as champion. He's terrible. The third hour on Raw got 1-3, the least watched hour on the third hour, and he was the main event in the main event segment of it. Nobody gives a fuck about Biggie being champion, all right? His title run is terrible. So,
that's the sad part.
The beginning of it, it's diabolically bad. At this point. So Kevin Owens, again, like the good Samaritan that he is apologizing for an honest mistake that he fucking did. And Big E, he's a fucking dickhead. He doesn't even give Kevin Owens a chance. Throughout the entire night of the whole show, people fucking give him shit about him turning. He has a reputation of backstabbing people. So fucking what? Everybody fucking backstabs people in the fucking business. Fucking, you trust Seth Rollins at one point and he backstabbed people. You fucking trust Randy Orton and you don't give him fucking shit. Like, what the fuck? Why are you making it seem like specifically Kevin Owens is like this big fucking villain? Fuck off. So Kevin Owens goes to all his people that he's partnered with saying, Ray, you don't believe this, right? Ray fucking doesn't even give him a chance. He just fucking bats away. Poor Kevin. He goes to R-Truth next. R-Truth just makes a joke out of it. And then when it comes to the main event of the fucking match, it was a great match, by the way, between Seth and Kevin, but here's the fucking problem. Big E was literally in the way. He was standing there because Kevin Owens and Rollins were in the announcer's table. They bumped into the chair, and Big E moved out of the way. The ref is counting to 10. Seth fucking moves Big E out of the way. He nudges him. But guess what? Big E stays right on the spot. He fucking costs Kevin Owens the match because Big E didn't move his fucking ass out of the way, and he causes Kevin Owens. And then the commentators
after Kevin Owens snapped and brutally attacked, so after Kevin Owens brutally attacks Big E afterwards, the commentator's like, this is not Big E's fault. He didn't cost Owens. Yes, he fucking did. He didn't move out of the fucking way in time. He just stood there like an idiot. He cost Kevin Owens. He did it on purpose.
They're working.
And he cost Kevin. And then this company expects me to boo Kevin Owens. Why? He was booed the entire night. The entire night that he was on the show, everyone bullied him, and he fucking snapped. I'm not going to fucking boo him for something. Big E's the fucking dickhead in this story, not Kevin.
I mean, glad you feel this way. I'm glad you feel this. I've been a fucking lifelong heel because of shit like this.
Look, hear me out. Hear me out. I watched the first match. I've seen the first match with my own eyes. And Kevin Owens fucking seen what happened. He seen that Big E was hurt. And then he pinned him. He took advantage. And then he's covering his ass. He apologized over and over again. And they buried his ass. They're burying him because he's leaving. I definitely 100% feel that way. That they're like, oh, let's make Kevin Owens look like a fucking clown before we fire his ass. Before he...
That's exactly
before
he's
not whatever.
Yeah.
So I see that. But I don't know. Kevin Owens isn't as cool as he was in the beginning either. The Kevin Steen shit is worn off. Like, he better be badass if he comes to AEW. He better be, because I'm tired of him in WWE. I really do not give a shit about him in WWE anymore. But whenever he was in NXT, when he came in, whenever he was fresh off the indies, when he was in the indies, Kevin Steen was a bad motherfucker. And, you know, and he needs to quit doing Stone Cold Stunners, too. I said it. But
I'm down with that.
And he's tighten up on the stunner. Dude,
don't do the stunner. No stunners.
But now,
what were his moves as Steen? Do we know?
He did the It was a package pile driver that he would do all the time, and it was badass.
Right? Yeah, he did a pile driver.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're making him look like shit.
Yeah. So we continue on with the few minutes of this, and by the way. So we go to the worst match in the entire show, Ross. That fatal five-way women's match was complete dog shit. These women don't know how to fucking wrestle. First of all, not only was the match bad, but they turned Doudrop heel too now. What the fuck for? Why is she heel too? This is the same thing like Kevin Owens. She spoke the truth. How many opportunities is Bianca Belair going to fucking get? This is
right?
Like her fifth or sixth opportunity she fucking gets. And,
they turn her heel.
They turn Doudrop heel for no reason.
And I mean, she was looking so cute out there in her little pink outfit. I wonder what kind of panties she's wearing.
It makes no sense. And so the match is shit. Becky Lynch, man. She's fucking cringe. She's terrible. She's a horrible heel. Her top is terrible.
I gotta say though, Becky Lynch's outfit, that top with the mirror disco ball top, man, that was fucking killer. And her shades were killer. But those pants, man, I don't know, man. They would look better on someone else. But I digress.
She's terrible. She's terrible as a heel. She's
I'm
horrible.
The fashionista.
She's stale. And so Liv Morgan's facing Becky Lynch for a title opportunity. And then the final part of this, right? They didn't even announce the team for Survivor Series on TV. They announced it on fucking online, everybody.
Twitter, baby.
They announced
Twitter.
They did it on fucking Twitter.
Twitter,
on
baby.
Fucking Twitter.
They had a segment with the women's Survivor Series team backstage, I remember, right? They had a segment where they showed them all backstage and were like, these are the chicks that are going to be in the match. And then they told the other girls that they weren't going to be in the match, and they were, like, pissed off about it.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching that.
Awful. I'll tell you the teams right now. I have the teams right here, by the way. These teams suck this year. This is the worst team ever. We have Seth Rollins, Finn Balor,
Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and it was supposed to be Dominic Mysterio, but they changed the script, and now it's Bobby Lashley, a guy we haven't seen in weeks. He hasn't talked since losing to Goldberg, and now he's in the men's Survivor Series match. Okay, whatever. They're taking on the team of SmackDown with the most random-ass team ever, Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Xavier Woods, Sami Zayn, and Happy Corbin. Wow, what a what a fucking great team.
Man. The Raw team is going to win. Raw sweeped last year, too. Going into it, we know that Raw, like, won 5-0 last year.
Yeah, Raw's going to lose.
What night is that game on? I mean, what?
The what?
That pay-per-view.
21st.
The 21st.
There's also the women's
Steelers versus
team.
Chargers.
Yeah. Well, so this is also the women's team. We have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Selena. Yes, you heard me right. The same women that literally fought in the Fatal 5-Way match last night are also team members. Try to make sense out of that. They will take on.
I don't see how they can win. I don't see how they're going to win. Yeah, give us.
They have the team of. What?
Yeah, give us the team. Sasha Banks and who else?
They have Sasha Banks, Shotzi, Natalia, Aaliyah, and Shayna Baszler. First of all, why is Shotzi and Sasha literally on the same team when literally 2 weeks ago Shotzi attacked Sasha and she hates Sasha? Why are they in the same fucking team?
Well, both teams have that dynamic. Both teams have people that hate each other on them, and that's not a new thing for Survivor Series. Everybody on this show, on the podcast, like says that they hate the Survivor Series matches. I always like them. I think that they're fucking cool, but I think that the matchups are really whack this year. No, I do, because I like when it's themed, like whenever there's more of a theme and like a end goal to it. This year it's just Raw versus SmackDown. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have Big E versus Roman Reigns, a build-up that's not even happening. Big E has not said at all once about Roman, and Roman hasn't said anything about Big E at all. That goes to tell you that Big E is not a real fucking world champion. He's a schmuck. He's a schmuck world champion. He's not giving the ratings like they wanted. He's terrible. He's a terrible world champion. He's worse than Kofi at this point.
Oh, man. I hate to agree with you, but shit, I feel it.
Bobby Lashley looked like $1 million on Raw when Bobby Lashley came out, dude. I was excited. I was happy to see him, and he came out, and I was like, this dude looks badass.
He had his gimmick, his guy with him.
I'm not afraid to say that I'm a Bobby Lashley fan still. Like,
me either.
Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, he had a what's-his-face with him again. I mean, I'm all about it. But shit, what are they going to do with him? They got to have him pull the belt off of Big E. I mean, I don't know about Biggie's run. It's gonna turn to shit.
I think Bobby
worse than Kofi.
I think. Bobby Lashley.
Fuck it. Just give the title to fucking Rollins. I don't give a fuck. Just get that title off of him now. Fuck
yeah. It's gonna look bad. And then today I saw an article where he was talking about, you know, what it means to carry the title, you know, to be black and stuff like that. And it's like, man, they're just gonna make a mockery out of this freaking title. Run to me. That's what it's going to be like. That it's going to be worse than Kofi's. It's a feel good moment at the beginning, and then they just turn it to shit right away. I mean, I've never been a fan of Biggie, but you know,
He's having trouble beating up Chad Gable last night, bro. He's not even the same height as you. How are you having trouble beating up this little squirt, man? You're the fucking world champion. For fuck's sake.
I think they're pushing
It made it seem like Chad Gable's getting a little push. It made it seem like
Chad
Gable was giving off way more. He was giving off way more Kurt Angle vibes like this last week. Like, and I know he always has given off Kurt Angle vibes, but now it's like, I think now they might be pushing him a little bit more.
And of course, Kurt Angle chiming in, talking about how he wouldn't mind coming back to manage, you know, Chad Gable and, you know, the crew. And, you know, just like somebody else chimed in recently that they wouldn't mind coming back. Who the fuck was it? Oh, my God. But it was for AEW. Oh, I wanted to talk about that last week, but we got cut short of the AEW segment. But, yeah, everybody wants to fucking come back and shit, you know. And Kirk Angel wants to come back to, you know, manage. I guess it would be all right. It would have to be heel, though. It would have to be heel. But with that, guys, I think we're going to close this one out. So, man, thanks for listening each and every week right here. Yeah. Albert, thank you so much, man, for posting us on Facebook. Of course, we're brought to you by, you know, Purple Planet. Wrestling Planet. You look it up and you'll find it. Yeah, Pro Wrestling Planet.
It's there. It's all there now. It was a fantastic show tonight, guys.
Man, thank you so much for joining us. And, Swami, I hate to cut you off on that, WWE report, but shit, we had a good show tonight, man. I enjoyed the flow we went with tonight. I mean, I thought we flowed really good, but we did the report short, but that's what it is, the way it is.
No, I have to go now. My phone's about to die, so... thank you all for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio. Stay tuned next week where we have the predictions for Survivor Scam, because that's why I'm calling this a fucking scam. This is a scam. Good night, everybody. Good
ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Fatal. Kevier and Ricky. Keep your peace, guys.
Kevier and Ricky here.
Hello.
We out. But I was going to say, no, it was a good show. And I watched all the wrestling. I did all my homework this week. And AEW, Rampage, Dynamite, was all good. I like CM Punk. I like everybody. I like Eddie Kingston a lot. I like fucking what WWE was doing this week. Even though WWE fired a bunch of people, like, there's, like, certain stories that are cool on the show. I still like Baron Corbin, dude. Happy Corbin. I watched the Happy Corbin match. I still like it. It was not bad. I like the T-shirt or the little fucking suit shirt that he's wearing or whatever. Anyways, that's my thoughts as a whole. Wrestling is pretty good right now. Don't forget local wrestling coming up on the 20th, followed by Survivor Series the next night. So we'll talk more about that next week. I'll see y'all then. Ricky?
Hey, baby. Hey, if you're down listening to Grateful Dead, I don't know, man. Like, I like wrestling. I love wrestling. So baseball season's over, so your analyst is done for a little while. Just, you know, have fun. Be cool. Be okay. Be wise. Get vaccinated, goddammit.
That's it for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier and Ricky. Albert inspected. Each and every week,
I was over here talking.
I was over here cutting a promo on mute.
It's great. Fucking show. You know what? Get on over to ProWrestlingPlanet.com. Order yourself a T-shirt. Go to TexasSolarNow.com and order yourself some solar panels. Go to your favorite restaurant and have yourself your favorite food there. Just enjoy life, man. And that's what we're doing here. And every day, we're just a collective of people here, man, and enjoying life. Enjoying our lives and having a blast and just, you know, this is how
it is. Gentlemen, Albert inspected. And so that's gonna do it for us this week on Fatal 4-Way Radio, and we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Peace, motherfuckers. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.